Listen up. You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thursday. What'd it do?
Word to the weekend, you know.
Okay.
Because it's Thursday. I'm hyped.
Okay. And
I woke up before my alarm today, baby.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Are you migraine-less today?
I am migraine-less.
Baby, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been almost like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks.
It's been about a week and a half for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a...
I feel like we might be speaking too soon, and as soon as, you know, because I have like something to get to directly after this, it's going to be like stop dead in my track. Oh. But right now, hey man.
Kill of the game.
Do backflips. You know what I'm saying?
Off of mattresses.
Oh, hey.
Dirty mattress. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know nothing about those.
Okay.
You don't know nothing about that.
So, John, first thing in the morning, John, F politics, I only want rat beef.
John, this is why we're married. Hello. Good morning. Is there anything else to talk about?
Listen,
Kendrick Lamar.
Off top, John said, hey.
Don't bring your BB Netanyahu around here. I don't want to hear nothing about Joe Byron.
John, did you already listen to the Views of My Fiance episode?
Has Drake responded?
You right?
Nope. How will he? He don't know.
Yeah, because Heart Part 6 ain't a response. I don't know.
Because what?
The Heart Part 6 ain't a response.
Yeah, again, I said, did Drake respond yet? Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm going to say that was an incredibly clever... I think I already said this. Oop. But I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. Really clever to name it the Heart Part 6. Mm. If you have listened to Kendrick, you know we get a Heart Part wherever. We're at Heart Part 5 mm-hmm. the last time. If I was like, this is genius. You stole it from him.
Yeah.
Right? If I were Kendrick, my next song would be called the Heart Part 6.
Step on it. Just step all over it.
I mean, that one, did it happen?
Yeah.
But we thank me later for actually making people forget about it.
Yo, what if the next thing Kendrick dropped was Thank Me Later?
It would be great, but he's off his square, as they say.
Kendrick is off his square?
Oh, I thought you said Drake.
No, if Kendrick drops something called Thank Me Later.
My bad.
In the same vein of what you're saying.
Yes.
Wow.
That'd be great.
Whew.
Care package? Oh, we could do this. Scary hours.
Man.
Anywho.
Yeah. Morning,
John,
y'all.
Who do you have in the rap beef?
Who do you have, John?
I didn't have a side. I mean, I still, yeah. I believe I am incredibly sideless.
Yeah.
But in this, where we are in this part of the beef, the win is the winner, or what do they call it? When it's the leader.
Yeah.
When it's not over.
Yeah, he has the lead. Kendrick has a lead.
It's very clear.
I think that's an issue for a lot of people. They think they can't call who's in the lead without saying they're on that person's side.
Right.
And it's like, no, I don't have a dog in this fight. It's just that it's clear who the current victor is. Like,
right. Also, don't fight dogs.
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for jumping in there. Yeah, no, don't fight dogs and keep the cats out the bags. Like, despite Drake dropping the last entry, he still is not in the lead. Yeah.
It put him behind.
It did.
It, like, actually...
It did.
It actively harmed him. His own song actively harmed him.
Yeah.
And
he did it to himself.
He did it to himself. That's another been here before moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
John said King Kendrick, all caps. But, oh, no.
Okay.
That's not all caps. I like. That's my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. John knows. John's paying attention.
It's almost impossible not to pay attention to this right now. And it's funny to me when people are like, why are you being so distracted by that? Do you know how much I pay attention to the saddest, most depressing things all day, every day?
Right.
This is the most entertainment I've had in 2024.
This is good, clean fun.
The most and the bestest.
For real. For real.
Like, you're not gonna make me feel bad for caring about something frivolous. But although I don't think it's frivolous, man.
It's great.
This is you called it a purging of the culture. And that was, when you said it, I was like, oh God, that sounds awful. Like, that just sounds, you know, but.
Yeah.
But when you are, I mean, I feel very much the same in my own life of, I'm not dealing with this performance anymore. I don't want to deal with the performative. Oh, you want to, I don't know, raise money off of me, but you don't want to actually pay me, you know?
That was a really good example when you said that initially, like, sure, you want to have me as your token black and raise money and pull down funds based on me being here. But then none of that trickles out.
But boy, Reaganomics.
Boy, is my position underfunded.
Boy, I'm PSR over here.
Yeah. Boy, do I not have the resources.
Just over here being underfunded and so if I'm, you know, I fully understand Kendrick. I fully understand I've had this issue with Drake for many years of what exactly are we going to do with this one over here? Who's just
with this one
is doing. I mean, I appreciate hitting a new culture, hearing a new vibe, like doing something with that. But Drake makes it his personality for the run,
for that rollout.
Mm-hmm. And we don't need another Chet Hanks, you know, like we got one.
And what people, I think, don't seem to really grasp, like, this is their jobs. This is, like, Kendrick's job. This is his career path. This is critiquing a colleague. Mm. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, except for.
Well, yeah. What do you mean, except for? Oh, they're not.
Well,
really,
he said, you're not a colleague. You're a colonizer.
He did say that.
Yeah.
He did say that. Constructive criticism? I'd follow it under that.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, there's no HR to take these issues to. So,
HR is not your friend anyway, guys. So just do remember that too.
Yeah,
don't be fooled. Rap beef, I feel like Universal Music Group's HR not here for either one of you fellers.
No,
yeah.
No. So yeah, I mean, this is also just part of the nature of the sport. It's competitive. You do a lot of trash talking, and you know, hey, chill out.
Funny. Because that is always the thing. Like, this is competitive. This is a part of the thing. This is what we do over here. And then inevitably someone's like, too far.
Questlove being that someone.
Listen, I'm not about to listen to nobody who live on TV played Takeover.
Excuse me.
Played the band that played Takeover before they were a house band.
Right.
Before they were a house band. They were like, we'll do an unplugged, sure, with Jay-Z. We'll definitely do that. We'll also be the ones that, while he does Takeover, and now all of a sudden it's just, hey guys.
Gotta chill out in this rap beef.
When you're, you know, it's mudslinging now. Excuse you?
Just bow out. It's okay to say
don't
I've aged
say
out.
Anything.
I've aged out of this type of, this part of the culture.
It's changed, and I didn't. Now I'm an old man.
This is the issue,
no shade,
the reoccurring issue within hip hop culture. the generational wars that happen. Well, when I was doing hip hop, this is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you're no longer at the forefront. So that doesn't mean that what's happening at the forefront is no longer hip hop. It's just
not what you had.
And that's it. That's it. What you were doing are now in the annals of hip hop history. You should be championing these young people that are still moving it forward and pushing the culture and have embraced it and made it their own. Because at some point they're going to have the same issues that you're having now. Like, hey, this isn't what we were doing. That's the nature of something evolving.
You're growing.
It's growing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't continue to be what you were doing. Like, who's that for?
Who's that for? And then maybe find just a moment to sit and reflect on the words you're using You know, like, does it sound a lot like pull your pants up, or I don't know about all this black on black crime?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Because that's what ends up happening. And you, all your little stereotypes and biases start coming out when all of a sudden you're not at the forefront of the thing.
Right.
And sit with it. Like, who do you sound like? Ask yourself that. If you sound like somebody that used to say this to you, maybe instead of just being like, oh, this is the regular, degular evolution of just life, you could be like, oh, I actually didn't want to be that person.
Right.
That was like not on my lawn. So stop being that person. If you find yourself in that position.
Yeah.
There's usually a bigger thing within that to be thinking about.
Let the youth have their day. And let us have fun with the battle.
Woohoo! So we did do a views with my fiance about this.
Yeah,
we did. We have to do another one. We needed to do another one immediately. I asked for you to scrap what we had just done as soon as we recorded it. I said, forget it. Start over.
MJ was like, take a break. Re-record it.
Re-record.
Right now.
Too many things have happened.
Yeah, we got surprised with a Kendrick release. We got surprised with Not Like Us while we were recording the episode.
Insane.
The frequency in which these records were coming out was just wild. Off the charts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mans gave us three songs in less than 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite I was watching a little clip, Daz and Corrupt of the Dog Pound for all the olds like us.
Right.
They were talking about it, and Corrupt had not heard any of the things.
Right.
And then so they're catching him up. Dad said they put out a whole album in like 3 days, fam. Like it's done. Between the two of them, they did a whole album. Like, they definitely did an EP.
Yeah.
Definitely did an EP.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Also, it's really fun. Really fun. To see the creativity that people come up with on how to make a story work in their favor for their fave. It's very, to John's point, very political. It's very much the same as the No My Team.
Right.
MAGA Blue Wave, you know, tsunami. What do they call it?
Yes, it was the blue tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, it was a blue wave, and then now it's a blue tsunami. Mm-hmm. It's gonna. That's what I think is going to be.
Oh, that's what's coming.
The blue tsunami. Know? Because it's going so great.
They really do think that with Biden's current numbers, huh?
That it's going great?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they not like us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I will say this.
About that.
They had their moment. They did. They've already started it. They've started the hot sauce in my bag.
Oh gosh.
You know, let's do a round of Breakfast Club interviews. You ain't Black Jack unless you vote for me. Joe Byron. Joseph Robinette Byron. They've started it because one of their campaign, I don't even know if it was there. I think it was. It said like something headquarters. Did a video with the song, Kendrick's latest, Not Like Us. And there's a, was it? It's Not Like Us. It's Euphoria. Yeah, my bad. Where he's like, I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way you dress.
Mm-hmm.
They went the route of, they just played the song, but they threw up, on the screen. It was like, all Trump, I hate the way that you, I don't know. And I hate the way that you, and yeah, I hate the way that you. And
they're clips of Trump.
Almost all things that they're also doing.
Right.
But trying to capture the moment, trying to catch the wave. And it's like, ooh, this is, yikes.
Yeah.
You guys are missing the mark. Yet again. This is what happens when the... Might just doing the performative fun.
Might I say Big
League? Okay.
Big League. Which one is it?
Both.
Remember that? That was the news at one point.
Both of them.
Is he saying Big Lee or Big League? Let's bring in an analyst.
It's literally both. It depends on the day. It depends on the time. He's interchangeable.
And we're bringing linguistics analysts.
Yeah.
To decipher. what the current president was saying.
Do you remember that and then add in the body language experts that they were trotting out at all times? No shade to people who do that, but like, that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Instead of being like, hey guys, welcome back to my channel. This guy keeps breaking the law. Like, hello. Start there. Now.
That was our political coverage at the time.
Bruh. Well, I did have a moment this morning, that really spiced up my life.
Brought me joy.
Do you remember Vivek Rhymes with Cake?
I do indeed.
Were you wondering what he's been up to since he's...
Not in the least. I took the moments in my life without Vake as treasured moments.
Ow.
He irks me to the sight. He is such an annoying person. Such an annoying person.
Hard agree.
And the fact that he was running for president, I have a much better understanding of what running for president means this year, this political season. Like before in the past, I was confused by people's motivations. And it's like, but you know you're not going to win. And then, you know, with conversations with you and understanding, you know, there are message candidates, there are candidates that are running to sell a book, there are candidates that are running just to, you know, raise their profile. They're not really... Really, they're not living in this fantasy world of actually trying to get in the White House.
Right.
So.
Or know, in that position.
In that position. Right. Right. They want to be part of the administration, possibly.
Right.
But not in that position. And with Vivek, it was like crystal clear. Like, dude, you, Tim Scott, zero, like 0.000 chance. It's not happening.
Well, it's amazing you say that. That was quite the... opening the segue without knowing it was going to be the segue to the clip that I got this morning of Ann Coulter, one daughter of the Confederacy.
How can you be both the mother and daughter of the Confederacy? The,
you know, a sister settler, if you will.
Yes, if only if you will.
He had her on. And it makes sense that he would invite her onto his show.
Right.
Because Vivek is... a brown person who believes in white supremacy.
A self-hating brown person?
I wasn't going to go that route.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think he's, before he hates himself, he loves money. I think he's a dirty capitalist, you know?
Fair enough.
So he, you know, takes certain things on the chin. It's not that big of a deal, you know? A wise race always got to be brought into it, buddy.
Get the cash from Jeff.
You know?
Okay.
Only color I see is green.
Facts.
You know?
Facts. At least he's consistent.
It's true.
Yeah.
And this was a moment that I enjoyed thoroughly. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Oh, it's because we're also in here where I have no...
That's who I brought on today. Somebody who... I think has some thoughtful perspectives on the future direction of our country, of our conservative movement, and on this question of nationalism and national identity, somebody who've been fascinated for a long time and have interacted with on social media, but for the first time we're having at least a live form conversation in the offline sense of it. It's Ann Coulter. So Ann, thanks for coming on, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. Thanks for having me. That was a fantastic opening monologue. I too am a fan of yours. I'm going to make a point of disagreeing with you so that it will be fun. You are so bright and articulate, and I guess I can call you articulate since you're not an American black. Can't say that about them. That's derogatory. And that was a great opening segment. Lots of things to talk about there. Oh, and I agreed with many, many things you said during, in fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian. We'll get back to that.
That's what I brought on today.
I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian.
What I appreciate about Sister Settler, the consistency. Now, don't get me wrong. she has done a couple of flops. You know, she was hard on the Trump train, and then she was like, oh, this guy is a lose bucket.
A lose bucket.
But then also, I'm sure, still voted for him because she would certainly not vote for one Joseph Robinette Byram.
Yeah.
But what I appreciate, and I was telling one of our lovely teens this the other day, that I love the brand of racism that just tells it to you. Yeah. I'm so tired. The Pacific Northwest brand of racism that's like, oh my God, I totally would never do any of that racism. And also,
right, who's like, racist? Where is racism?
I don't know what a microaggression is, but then like, as they're just touching your hair.
Right.
You know? I also don't know what a microaggression is. They're just aggressions.
Just aggressions.
Anyway, our good friend, Anne, let it be known.
From the rip.
From the rip. Hey, man, I agree with you. You were the best candidate out there. But Indian.
Couldn't see myself doing it.
And it, you know, you're so articulate. You almost sound like a regular American.
You had the majority of, you know, the ideals and issues right for me.
That matter the most to me, a white supremacist. I was ready. Except
Indian.
I mean, I think one Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys might right. also know what that feels like. You know, just he's hey guys, shameless. I thought we were all in this together. I thought this was a together mission. No.
Mike is just shameless. Absolutely shameless.
His face when she says you're not, I can say that because you're not an American black, like he laughs at it and right. then he's like, wait.
Yeah.
And that is, in fact, how that brash.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not an American black, which that then is insulting if you say you're articulate. But she can't figure out why that would be insulting.
Right.
That, ooh, so articulate.
So articulate.
Wow. Mm. Look at you, reader.
Put those words together all on your own. Did you sneak off behind the shed and learn how to read?
Certainly. Who should be in Who's trouble for?
In trouble.
Oh, no, we're in trouble. Someone said. WTF. Pete. Oh, this is Pete Town. WTF. I never want to wake up to that voice again. Who let her in here? Morning, Beyonce. It was me. It's my bad. We have Vivek, rhymes with cake, to blame for it.
Yes, definitely.
I wasn't wondering what he was up to, but then he popped up being insulted by, you know.
Said, hey guys, welcome back to my struggle.
Oh, whoa, whoa. All right, so what are we gonna do today? We already hit a couple of things. We're definitely gonna talk about the DEA agent that was like, get me the mess out of here. I want no parts of Marion County. And if you guys are unaware, that's our neighbor.
Yeah.
Our southern neighbor right yeah. there. Just Salem? Was it Salem?
It was yeah. Salem. It was Salem.
And then you may have missed it, but the Portland City Council revealed its band name right before unanimously passing Tevis's camping ban. They are the Cruel Intentions. And we love that for them.
We do. We do. And national news, tired Trumpelstiltskin still getting in trouble in court. Oh, he's so fussy.
He's just a little fussy.
Just baby. A little fussy. Just, you know, needs a little nap.
Yeah.
They got me in this court seat that's uncomfortable. And I got set up. And I got just beer. Now I'm McDonald's. I can't eat in here. No, where is it? Give me a shake and fries. He's so grumpy. Israel said, ceasefire for what? I'm not ceasing fires. Are you ceasing fires? Who ordered a ceasefire? Was it me?
I didn't order a ceasefire. I didn't order it and I didn't negotiate it.
You're at the wrong house with
actually,
that, buddy.
Thank you for nothing, Cutter. I want no
Yeah. Let me see what else is in that bag. Missiles? We'll take the missiles, but you keep the ceasefire.
I know I told you that we really cared about the hostages and that we wanted them back. And then we made a bunch of pamphlets and handouts. And even some of our good friends in New York plastered them all over walls and were like, where are the, bring them home.
Yeah.
And I know you're saying to me, now that I have the opportunity to do that, why, BB, why you ain't doing that? And I'm just going to tell you, it was never my plan.
Too close to winning this thing.
I'm so close to the end. Why? Why would I take a pause?
Yeah.
You know, my ADHD brain says go through. Just go through.
And
we're focused right now. Stay there.
Don't stop the holler.
Yeah. If you go look at Twitter, you're done. Just keep going.
Listen
keep
to me.
Fighting.
Stay locked in with me.
That's it.
We got this.
Yeah.
And when I'm done, we'll have the hostages.
Man, I don't actually care about them. I'm more concerned about the land.
They're going to blame Hamas for whatever happens to the hostages as a result.
And there's like, you know, a handful of them. They could just pause.
They could.
But when you've got, you know, the right to exist and other people don't, you can't pause, I guess. I don't know.
And when you got the U.S. in your pocket, who gonna check me, boo?
It's certainly not gonna be the U.S. That dude is sunning the mess out of us.
Bruh.
Talk about getting beat up in a battle. Like.
Bruh.
Fam.
It's messy. It's the messiest of boots.
It's big, ugly.
Yeah.
Super ugly.
Oh.
You know.
Don't bring up what they don't want to talk about. That's what they don't want to talk
about.
That's
what they don't want to talk about. Blueprint 2. You know? They're not ready. Ambush?
Yeah.
I'd like a music break.
All right. Quick shout out to Chase, Nina, whoever had the idea of putting that script up in that window. Let me tell you something. Genius. It makes it so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the font size is great. You know, me with my glasses, I can see it just fine. You know, it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure. Are we back in the fun drive? It's a pleasure to work here. What's going on?
I love it.
Go to the front of the website. Hit the donate button.
You know,
just
tell them we sent you.
Just because it's Thursday. Yes, Rudo. I can read it. This is how you introduce yourself with the People's Thursdays? With this type of slander? Text from Rudo. Good morning. I hope Ambush can read this. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Are we in a rap battle? What's happening
here? I ripped my headphones off on that one. Hot fire.
Woo. Wow.
Rudo spitting already.
See how he turned what I was, you know, giving as a compliment to X-Ray staff. He turned it and used it against me. He planted that.
He had
a mole.
Okay.
In my camp.
Ambush?
Yeah.
Let's not. Because right now, Rudo is looking like a better battler. You know, like maybe don't step into that ring. Number one. I'm not the mole is number two. You know? You're your own mole. You told on yourself.
There's that. When you hit that inflection of ambush, when it goes up at the end, it's one of my favorites. It's like ringing the bell. I've done it.
I did something.
I got to where I wanted to be. Might not come out always the way I want to, you know, but I got it.
We got another text.
Oh, God.
That says, the hostages, I'm sorry, they all went missing. They went with all the missing stolen children at the border.
Ooh, P-Town. Yes.
I don't know how to read this morning. I said I was awake. I woke up before my alarm and everything. And then those words just got jumbled.
Yeah, no. You were...
Sorry for stepping on the
door. What do they call that? Chipper, squirrel, what's the...
Early bird.
Did you get a worm? You know? Is that your coffee?
My coffee wasn't even good today. I know. We're not, not even going to talk about it.
All right. Okay.
Just not even going to talk about it.
Sheesh.
Oh, my goodness. Are you reading that text?
Yeah.
Ambush. I was a zygote when I first heard that ring.
LOL. Yeah. Then they came and corrected the song. Yes.
So, ooh, yeah. That's... So I was like, what year was that? Because this was my jam.
Jam.
And realizing how young I was listening to The Boys, who I obviously was listening to The Boys.
Hello. You were engaged to at least one of them.
Only one of them.
Okay? Look at your face. Like, oh, okay. I know the one.
I don't get around. Okay. I certainly didn't when I was nine. I was absolutely dedicated to Bilal, okay?
So you were nine when that came out.
Yeah. I had I looked up the year because I was like, when was this? I remember like jamming to
it
the
was
like
so good.
Asking my dad for the tape.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. Had little overalls on doing it.
Listen.
Overalls with a track jacket. Just,
what makes me upset right now is I have overalls on at this moment.
Nothing's changed.
Really nothing. In my, like, yikes. I saw a picture of myself at, like, when I was like... I had to be 18.
Right.
Just timing. And I had on exactly an outfit I probably wore yesterday. Like, I was like, wow, you have not done much here. There's not been a lot of evolution in your everyday clothes. Are there the pants? Is there a hoodie? And are there some fire sneakers? That's what I'm doing over here.
Cool. Cool.
That's all I needed to do.
Again, consistency is the key.
You're right.
Yeah. Consistency is the key.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Ambush, for some reason, I'm antsy. I don't even want to do the stories. But, you know.
Yeah, man.
Let's get into what we're here to do.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. Which one you want to tackle first?
Let's jump into the DEA situation. Because.
I feel like people don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the DEA wants OUT of Oregon, guys. They want nothing to do with us. In a case that has sparked debate and legal wrangling, the fate of a DEA agent's criminal prosecution now lies in the hands of appellate judges. Samuel Landis, a DEA agent, faces charges related to a fatal collision with a cyclist in Salem. The incident occurred when Landis ran a stop sign during a surveillance mission, resulting in the death of a cyclist. The dispute centers on whether Landis's actions should be judged under federal or state jurisdiction. A federal judge previously moved the case to federal court, allowing Landis to argue for immunity from prosecution, citing his role as a federal officer conducting surveillance on a major drug dealer at the time of the collision. However, Oregon Department of Justice appealed this decision, contending that Landis should face trial in state court. During a recent hearing before the Ninth Circuit in Seattle, arguments were presented with from both sides. State attorneys argued that Landis failed to prove that his actions were necessary to carry out his duties as a federal officer, emphasizing that there was no evidence of an emergency or urgency that justified violating traffic laws. On the other hand, Landis's attorney asserted that the agent had a reasonable decision in the context of law enforcement surveillance, arguing for the validity of his immunity defense. Landis's legal team maintains that he believed his actions were necessary based on the circumstances of the surveillance mission.
Mm.
The appellate judges are now tasked with determining whether the case should proceed in federal or state court. Their decision will have significant implications for Landis's prosecution and could set precedents for similar cases involving federal officers. A case like this highlights the importance of clarifying the legal framework surrounding the actions of federal officers in state jurisdictions and balancing law enforcement duties with public safety.
I don't care which court they put it in. No immunity. Sir, look here. You want this moved to federal court so you can move forward with your life with the justification of running this stop sign, killing someone.
Yep.
And saying, hey, it's just an everyday thing. It's a casualty in the line of duty of fighting this war on crime. First off,
well, it's the war on drugs.
War on drugs. I'm okay. Sorry. Yes, I want to be specific. You are correct.
Yeah.
First off, the answer to that is no. Also, it was your poor judgment. And that's it. That's what's on trial here. Your poor judgment. That's it. Just take full responsibility. You decided I need to run this stop sign to catch up with the rest of the surveillance detail. Unnecessary. This is surveillance. You guys weren't doing a no-knock raid. It was surveillance of a drug dealer, not a raid of a mass murderer. So, I mean, no.
The idea that you can just fly through, like, aren't there, there's already, I'm going to say guidelines, because I don't, like, laws don't mean a lot when it comes to law enforcement. So there's the guidelines that you are not supposed to, you know, depending on the area, residential, you know, you're not supposed to be doing a hot pursuit that's going to then up the chances that someone is harmed.
Yeah. And this wasn't even that.
Yeah. In this particular instance, this person lost their own friends. They you know, you got left behind or you looked down because you were texting. I don't know. I don't know how you lost the rest of the detail, but you're trying to catch up. You're not even actually in pursuit of a suspect.
Right.
And if you are behind, that means someone else is already with the, you know, they're surveilling. So unless it can only be your eyes that see it or only your car that shows up,
right,
it doesn't make sense that you're running stop signs. And this is a residential. This was not like a
busy street downtown.
No. And again, federal DEA agent, that's an undercover car. That's not going to have a whole bunch of lights and sirens. That's a person, like, when I remember when this first happened, before I knew that this was a DEA agent, and I was just seeing like the footage from different Ring cameras of this truck, like, just barreling down streets. I was like, wow, that person is absolutely wild. To know that you are not just law enforcement, you are an alphabet boy, and
right,
you're surveilling a drug dealer, a fentanyl dealer.
That's it.
I don't know how to tell you this, but the call is coming from inside the house. It's y'all fault.
Right. That's it.
Like, the last thing you need to do is run some people over in order to get to the dude that you already know is selling fentanyl.
Yeah.
I've had it.
It's, I mean, the immunity clause, this immunity tactic that exists at the federal level just needs further examination, period. What are the things that you guys, how's it been used in the past? What was the purpose of it when it was initially introduced? And
The long arm of daddy government, babes. That's the point is, hey, you guys have your rules, your laws, your little things over here in your states. And then we are a united front, which means we, the federal government, we shall not be moved by the things that you say. I think it always goes back to power. So that's likely where it comes from. I was just doing my job. I was just, you know, what I'm supposed to do.
Hey, man.
I work directly for, you know, my boss really wants us to get this war on drugs handled.
How else are we going to do it?
So now we're in your state, taking over your jurisdiction, doing things with the stuff.
Maximum effort.
Ambush.
What?
That's it.
You can't leave. Yep. Morgan, get back here. Hello. It's our favorite phrase from Deadpool. It's our favorite phrase.
What?
Maximum effort. It's your favorite thing Deadpool says.
I really do love it. I do. But it's like no effort. Law enforcement gives us maximum effort to harm.
Yeah. No accountability.
And then be like, what do you want me to do? It's a part of my job.
I'm just doing my job.
I mean, honestly, just in the interest of the performatively doing the public safety.
Right. Right.
Maybe running down a suspect or trying to catch up with your friends. I mean, I think that, it, you know, if that were a teenager, we'd be having different things to say.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get to my friends, guys. I was late.
Absolutely. It's late for prom. What is like if I'm that person's family? Does my input matter? I like, you're trying to get away with this. You're trying to have zero accountability for what happened to my family member, and you want to use immunity, in the course of me doing my job. Are you to tell me that there was no other way? You were optionless. Your back was against the wall. You were under heavy fire. There was no other way to do your job in that moment.
You know what's interesting? The argument from his lawyer was, sure, hindsight is 20/20, and all of us can say this was not the best decision now. But we really need to put ourselves in that moment.
Mm.
And I appreciate that argument. I really do. And I also think it's completely ridiculous to think that there is space, there's room to be had for this person to be getting any sort of immunity, any sort of out.
Yeah.
Because what the way that you, the decision that you did make, that split second decision, I really, what truly bothers me about that argument specifically for law enforcement is no one else gets it.
No one else gets that. Yeah.
It's true for other people too, right? It's true for other instances. It's true for other industry. It's true for other careers. It's true for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That
I made a poor split second decision.
Yeah. And in the moment, I didn't know what to do. And so I did this.
Right. It doesn't remove you from penalty.
No, it's just what happened.
Right.
You're just explaining what happened.
Yeah.
And for that to be a thing that works, you know, like, and works well. It works real well. They do it all the time. It is the first thing trotted out. Well, what would you do in those seconds? I would probably not pull my gun on the child.
Well, you're not law enforcement, and we're trained to respond in a certain way.
To kill children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing the amount of children that don't get killed,
right,
that have weapons, that, you know, there's too much. We know exactly the reason certain guns get drawn.
Right.
You know, and then there's the alphabet boys that do this, that you're, who knows where this dude is from? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you guys are here just bailing through the Salem streets.
Big old truck too.
Big old truck.
Big old truck.
Just yacked a cyclist, and you're like, oh man, I got to catch up to the surveillance.
Right.
Like, I don't really have time for this paperwork, brother. I got to get out of here. There's a fentanyl dealer on the loose.
Right.
What?
Were there enough people in the surveillance team to have eyes on the fentanyl dealer? Were your eyes the only ones?
That's what I'm saying. Did it have to be your car that pulled up first to know that it was him? Like, wild.
Zero mistakes on their part. Zero. That's always the...
That's true.
It's always the part that I love about law enforcement. They never make a mistake. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's to account for? We didn't do anything.
No, we did, but it's our job. And there's... So take that.
It's your job to let us do our job. So
take that, okay? Quit asking me questions, but I don't come to your job asking you how to do it, you know?
Do you want me to jump into the camping van story, or you want to take a music break?
I say jump in the story.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Cruel Intentions. I love it. It's the name of the camper van. The Portland City Council has unanimously approved new regulations for camping on public property, aiming to address the challenges posed by unsheltered homelessness in the city. Under the new policy, individuals experiencing homelessness are permitted to camp on public property when shelter beds are unavailable, a common occurrence in Multnomah County. However, certain activities are prohibited while camping, such as using propane heaters, starting fires, or blocking access to private property. Violations of these rules could result in fines up to $100 or a maximum jail sentence of 7 days. Additionally, individuals may face penalties if they refuse to vacate their camp when informed by city outreach workers that shelter space is available. Because that works for everyone. The policy replaces a previous public camping ban that had been stalled by legal challenges. The decision comes amidst ongoing legal debates surrounding laws regulating public camping, with the U.S. Supreme Court currently considering a case from Grants Pass, Oregon, which could impact the enforcement of similar laws nationwide. While the unanimous approval of the new regulations represents a step forward, there were differing opinions within the council. Commissioner Renee Gonzalez had proposed amendments to give the mayor sole authority over the camping policy and to implement stricter regulations, but his plan did not garner enough support. Despite expressing reservations, Gonzalez ultimately voted in favor of the policy. Didn't get your way. The new regulations take effect immediately, marking a significant development in Portland's efforts to manage homelessness and public spaces. Who's happy about this?
It doesn't mark a significant development. Mm. I would say it marks a significant waste of our time and resources. I'm tired, and not just Morgan is sleepy. I am tired of actually watching leaders, and this is not new. So, you know, I'm not trying to act like I am just discovering something that no one else knows about.
Right.
But to watch so closely our resources and just be thrown out the window and then get told we don't have the resources to help people because, you know, you can't just print money or whatever it is they say, inflation.
Right.
You can't do any of those things. But what we can certainly do is waste all of the time, waste all of the resources, allow people to die, and then be like, I just don't know why they won't go to a shelter.
Right.
We won't even do anything to make a shelter better. Right. We don't even invest any money to make a shelter make sense for someone.
Right.
You don't even listen to folks who say a shelter doesn't work for me because, and then they have a laundry list. It's not like just because I want to bring my dog.
Or
like,
which this also, is the wrong color. This is the wrong color paint in this room.
Exactly.
Right.
Also, you should not have to leave your family or your dog or, you know.
Right.
In order to be housed. But it's absolutely asinine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we're supposed to act like they're working right now. They're not working. They are wasting our time. They are wasting our resources. There are people dying. There are people that are just need that little bit of help so that they don't get evicted.
Right.
So that they don't lose their housing. People that are hustling 3 jobs, 4 jobs, every gig they can do just to pay rent. And in a moment's notice, lose one of those gigs, you ain't got no rent money. And instead of there being some sort of safety net for real, not one with exhausted funds, not one that you can't even speak to a person
right.
for months, actual funds to be able to make sure that people don't become homeless in the first place. We have no prevention game. Mm. We have no retention game once we make it so that you are no longer houseless. Like, it's just false. I'm pulling my hair out.
I mean, let's
I'm talk. The Kathy for a comic right now.
I mean, yeah, we say it all the time. These are policy choices. I mean, think about the failure in leadership here. The decades long failure in leadership. We are in Portland, Oregon. This place is coveted, once coveted nationally. It's a place where people go and retire young. You know, like all the cool hip things are happening here. You can put birds on it. And what you just described, someone having to hold down 2 to 3 jobs just to get by. If you're in leadership, is that what you want? Like, you've allowed the developers and you've allowed property owners and landlords. I'm sorry. I don't know why that word escaped me. You allowed them to make most of the housing unaffordable, barely affordable, eating up so much of people's wages that one job could never do. One could never. And this is okay.
Right.
And like, you're talking to people who can, you know, are just struggling to make ends meet. And you're like, hey, vote for more of this. Keep me in office so I can continue to, you know, have you in these haggard conditions and continue to tell you there's nothing I can do about it, but vote for me again.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're saying, here's what I can do about it. And that thing they can do is nothing.
Right.
It just has a bunch of words like camping ban, restriction, right. You know, fines unless. Real quick, we just got a text that says rally in support of Portland Street Response today, 1 p.m. City Hall, wear blue and green. I'm going to say it one more time. Rally today in support of Portland Street Response, 1 p.m. at City Hall, wear blue and green.
Okay.
Heck yes. I don't know if you saw, but our evil city council commissioner. I don't know what to call Rene Gonzalez. Honestly.
Anti-city council member.
Yo, literally, because of the hiring freeze that he did so that make it impossible for PSR to expand to 24-hour
service.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Because of that hiring freeze, PSR missed out on federal funding.
Oh, wow.
And when I use the word saboteur for someone like Rene Gonzalez, I am not being... I'm not talking Big Brother. I'm not talking the CBS hit show and who's the one doing the things. He's sabotaging things that we voted for, things right. that we said we do in fact want our money to go to this. We would rather see this group of people deal with this group of things before the police.
Right.
We said it, we meant it, we voted on it. And then we have nothing but
obstruction.
Obstruction.
Nothing but obstruction.
Obstruction from the beginning and all to tell us that it doesn't work. And what's killing me is that this dude isn't really like, let's give more money to the police. Somehow he's like, Portland Fire needs all of the bread.
Right.
Like, what? Huh? Huh? They wouldn't be responding to those things. Then right. you are making them respond to those things after they said that they're overworked and underpaid. And it wasn't like you were like, here, let me give you more money.
No, let me give you more
I understand
work.
what that phrase means. Overworked means you're doing too much of it. And underpaid means you're not getting paid enough money for the work you're already doing. What he did while saying I'm here to champion the fire department is give them more work. And who knows if they got more money.
Right. I never hear about them getting more money. I hear about the cops getting more money and the firemen getting more work.
Well, my thought is that some of those funds get diverted. Mm-hmm. And But I don't know. That could just go to the potluck fund, you know?
Slush funds.
That might, you know, pizza parties. That might not go to anybody's actual pockets.
Yeah. Pizza parties.
Serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that music break now. I'd also like a slice of pizza. Yeah.
Man, when you said that immediately, I'm like, ooh, I'd like some pizza.
Yeah. Just run me a great, great slice.
That was definitely one of the best thing about high school. The pizza parties in your classroom.
Oh.
Where you didn't have to share with other classes because yeah. you guys did whatever you did to get that pizza party. And those boxes come into your room. Oh, my goodness. It didn't matter if it was raining outside, whatever.
It also didn't matter what kind of pizza it was.
It didn't.
It could come from the depths of hell.
Yeah.
It's a pizza party.
It's a pizza party.
That's why they try and do that still. That's why they try and pull it on the adult. I do not want your pizza party. I want socket to my pockets. I want the money in my account. I do not want your dollar slice.
They're tapping into our childhood.
Yo.
Oh, no.
Give me that, and then we'll come back with, because we just got like a slew of messages.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't got to read them yet.
Like, all right. Yeah. Yes. Music break. We'll be right back. We got some texts. Bob. Bob says, when I was living on the street in Boston, I had a full-time job, and it still took me several months to save enough money to get a place. This is coming off of the houses in the story.
Bob, well, what was wrong with you and your bootstraps? You know,
hey,
working full-time?
Your bootstraps are a little too loose there, Bob.
What was going on there?
Yeah. Terrible. Like, again,
that's exactly the point. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Go ahead.
The point is that to be able to do this narrative of people want to live out there, that people want to not have shelter, that people want to do this because drugs or drugs. I mean, that really lazy, I think they also say.
Right.
The amount of people that are working who have no house, no home, their home, is a car.
Vehicle. Yeah.
Is a car that they can barely afford to pay for.
A car that gets towed with all their belongings?
Multiple times. I have always, like, this is one of those things that I probably shouldn't ask out loud because Google is free-ish. But maybe one of you guys knows this answer off top. Why is it illegal to sleep in your car?
It's my car. It's my car. Belongs to me. Mine's.
Like, if a car can be parked on the street 24 hours and it's not anything, how come I can't be asleep in it? Now, I do understand, you know, there are some seedy things that can happen in a vehicle.
Sure.
It
can happen in the house, too.
It's a fishbowl, basically, you know? A whole lot worse happens inside a place that no one can see in. I don't know if you guys know this, but basements are a real thing. People be trapped in.
Right. Right.
So back to my point, there are so many people working their butts off who cannot afford to live, who cannot, I mean, imagine being able to save money when you are behind on, you know, like,
right.
How do you get to the point where you are able to now do first, last deposit? I've now had to be working while living outside for however long.
Right.
As if, I mean, and the mental fortitude that you have to even continue to get up and go to work.
Yeah, seriously.
Bob, seriously. I don't know. We may need to have you on, Bob.
Bob said, I was wearing red Converse high tops. They did not have straps.
Dang it. Did you play in the NBA? Because they used to wear those too. They did not have straps.
They did not have straps.
They did not have support.
No.
They didn't have anything that helped you. They didn't have arch support. Mm-mm. Sheesh.
No straps, because no boots.
Sorry, I'm stuck on the red Chucks.
Yeah, man.
Bob's a gang member. another text that says, it's my favorite when it like just
scrolls
on you. Means test the police.
Right.
No overtime pay for you to throw people's belongings in a dumpster until you have demonstrated you've done literally anything to address the underlying problem.
Thank you, Michelle.
Ding, 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 ding. Loud dings, reggae horns. You do. Why are we willing to pay for that? Why are we willing to not just pay for it, but fight for it?
Right. Right.
Because some of your neighbors right now are like, hurry up and get the police here.
Quick, fast.
Get these people out of my neighborhood. Okay. I'm sorry. I just noticed the time. It's 8:45. We got to get into it.
Okay.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Ceasefire for what? Israeli troops seize control of Gaza's vital Rafah border crossing. This move comes amidst fears of full-scale invasion of the southern city and ongoing negotiations with Hamas over a ceasefire and hostage release. The United Nations has warned of a potential collapse of aid, of aid flow to Palestinians due to the closure of the Rafah crossing from Egypt and the, Kerem Shalom crossing from Israel. The closure exacerbates the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, where northern areas are reportedly experiencing famine conditions. The Israeli operation follows a series of diplomatic maneuvers and military posturing in the Israel-Hamas conflict, now in its seventh month.
Seventh.
Really want that to sit. Seventh month. Despite Hamas's acceptance of the ceasefire proposal, Israel insists on its core demands, leading to a deadlock in negotiations. The capture of the Rafah crossing grants Israel full control over the entry and exit of people and goods into Gaza for the first time since its withdrawal from the territory in 2005. So I just want to stop real quick and say, been there before. Okay?
Right.
Left, and now you're back.
Right. Not new to this, true to this.
Right. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hailed the move as a significant step towards dismantling Hamas's military capabilities. Military. LOL. However, Hamas's officials have condemned the Israeli operation, vowing not to succumb to military pressure. The operation has raised concerns among international observers, with the United States expressing apprehension over the fate of Palestinian civilians trapped in Rafah. In response to the escalating situation, the White House has described the Israeli operation as limited in scale and duration, aimed at disrupting Hamas's arms smuggling activity. Ceasefire negotiations mediated by Egypt and Qatar are ongoing, with the involvement of CIA Chief William Burns to bridge remaining gaps between the parties. Meanwhile, fighting has forced the evacuation of medical facilities in Rafah, further exacerbating the humanitarian crisis. Both Israeli and Palestinian civilians face mounting uncertainty and fear as the conflict shows no sign of abating. As tensions escalate, concerns over a wider rift between Israel and its main ally, the United States, come to the forefront. The U.S. recently paused a shipment of bombs to Israel. Paused. Citing concerns over a potential full-scale assault on Rafah against U.S. wishes.
And some of the early reports I've seen as far as the U.S.'s response has been, well, this isn't the full invasion that Israel described. Therefore, we have less of an issue. Wow.
Does it not just leave you sitting? Does it not just leave you? I don't know what we need to do. Because 7 months of this, of an onslaught of terror, there, I don't know how else you could begin to describe this.
Yeah.
Relentless terror. 7 months of it, and there are people right now mad at protesters.
Right.
The police in America are doing the IDF, not that that's new, friends.
Right.
But they're out here doing that as they're, you know, on college campuses, as they're saying the, you know, First Amendment is incredibly important, and yes, freedom of speech, and yes, you have the right to protest, but not like this.
Do you think the strategy from the current administration is that we're anticipating this being wrapped up soon in order to get back to the politics of scaring you with Trump to make sure you vote for us? Because right now, like, my thing is, the only way to respond as citizens is to make sure Joe Biden does not become president again. Like, that's the only, like, when you were like, I don't know what else we can do. The only response, the only thing we're left with, the only tool we have left is to make sure to say, hey, we didn't like what you did, and we really, really mean it. Like, Nah. And the penalty for that is you will not get another turn.
You lose your job.
You lose your job.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the alternative is horrid.
Right.
Right. And then, like, sure, we have to prepare ourselves for what that's going to be like the next 4 years.
It's interesting to me when people say, and this is not me saying that we have the answer, but it's wild to me that people will say, well, it'll be, you know, you say that Biden isn't doing something or isn't doing enough, but the people in Palestinian people will not do well under Trump. There won't be Palestinian people.
Mm. Right.
Like, I really need y'all to understand this is not just a land grab. It is an ethnic cleansing and a land grab. This is what colonization looks like. This is the violence. Another thing, amazing to tell people, and no, this is not, you know, the first time we have said this, but to respond to people protesting actually peacefully in a way of you need to be peaceful, you need to not disrupt. One, you don't know what protest means. Two,
right.
We are protesting the most violent acts that can be done against a people. Where is your call for peace? Where is your call for not like that? Where is your call for humanity when literal bombs are being dropped on children? And I don't even, I'm a person who does not like the women and children angle. People, period, are out here getting murked for land.
In broad daylight.
Broad day. With our money. Against what we want. Like, this is not the kind of thing that you just go, oh, I can't. It's so annoying that you guys were on the bridge.
Right.
We're talking a people.
The entire culture.
Entire culture being decimated. And it's just too much for these, you know, radical college kids to put up a tent. Wow.
When I see reports about the colleges and institutions, historic institutions that have been destroyed, their museums, the art that is lost, the literature that's been lost, like that needs to be, you know, a continuous part of the conversation when we're talking about people's culture being erased. Like their culture is being bombed, eradicated, burned away. And the amount of laws we keep hearing about that are being broken in doing that, it's overwhelming. It's truly overwhelming. And I hope that people aren't becoming numb. It's very important that people don't become numb to this. We should not be used to seeing the images that we're seeing on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook and whatever we're seeing. We should not become used to that. But somehow we have. 7 months. Somehow we have. I saw people responding to the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, saying though this, you know, this show of opulence, this this moment should not be taking place right now. There were similar sentiments about even just the, you know, Drake and Kendrick thing. Like, it's a distraction. There's more important things for us to be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
And there will always be these type of tragedies happening around the world because of capitalism, because of colonialism. And there will always be a desire for people to want to take a break from it and find their different ways to escape and be distracted. So while I can see both of these things happening at the same time, the media is much more responsible than whatever is happening in that moment. Whatever we're deeming as a distraction within that moment, the media and our government, this current administration, is much more responsible in shaping the narrative and shaping the desired viewpoint from citizenry of how we're supposed to be reacting to this.
Yeah.
We watched the coverage very early on. They were using certain words, avoiding other words, being very dishonest with the coverage. We watch our government say, you know, well, we watch them move very quickly with anti-Semitic legislation and protection of anti-Semitic. Protections against
anti-Semitism. Correct.
Boom.
Nailed it.
And they've widened the scope and redefined what anti-Semitism is.
Well, when you redefine a thing,
right?
You know,
in the moment.
When you redefine it to fit what you're looking for it to fit, so that we don't have to talk about these things and we won't talk about them in the way that they need to be talked about.
Right.
I agree that there, a lot of people can walk and chew gum at the same time, and you can be engaged, and you can also need a break, and you can also, I mean, you need a break.
Yeah.
For those of us who are paying attention to these things and taking this kind of violence in on a regular basis, to not take a break is detrimental to whatever your mission is.
Yeah, for sure.
We do have a bunch of texts, and we won't get to say or get to read them all, but I do want to make sure that a few of these get on the air.
John,
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem you don't understand with living in your car, or the living in your car thing, is that a car is property that must be protected, and a person is a problem that must be kept out of sight. Hope that helps. Michelle,
thank
it
you,
did.
Michelle.
It
thank
did.
You, Michelle.
It did.
John says, as Bernie Sanders said, do you know how many students are protesting at universities in Gaza? None. All 12 universities have been destroyed.
Gone.
He also said there may not be American people if Trump gets in office.
Yeah, I mean, I hear
you. Yeah, I do.
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean.
This other one, I think this is also, but you tell me if I'm wrong. Mm. Or this, yeah, I can't see the names. Mm. Want to add that in Boston, where that person was messaging about move-in costs. Oh, this isn't. Move-in costs is first, last, security, and realtor fee.
Yo.
All of those are a full month's rent, and it's much higher there. People need to have like $10,000 in hand just to move in.
Bruh.
Wowie wee wow.
Bruh. Another text says, someone that works outside, food is really expensive if you don't
cook in. Ooh, very much.
In general, being poor is expensive. People need to understand.
And they can't. I don't, right. Or not they can't. They refuse.
Right.
I don't know why. Well, yes, I do. I don't know why I'm saying certain things today. I do know why, but correct.
Right.
It is the most expensive thing to be a poor person. And at this moment, right now, as you are living and breathing, the richest people in America pay less taxes than you.
Yep.
On paper, not they're hiding the things, and we're not even counting the offshores, and we're right. This is on paper. They now have an effective less tax rate.
Right.
Then I would assume most people listening to this show. Most people listening to this radio station.
Right.
I don't know how that doesn't radicalize you. That should certainly not make you go, I can't wait to be one of them.
Man.
How will we fix this? We'll all become one of the top 400 richest people too. Really, you know, at some point we got to be for real.
Because that's what we need. Another one.
The fact that we have just been able to pass on this rugged individualism as if it is even real, and then allow people to really sit in it. Like, yeah, that's how I'm going to fix it. That's how I'm going to do it. Is I'm going to get me and mine out of this situation. The me and mine mindset is what colonization is. That's how we get to where we are.
Yep.
It's, I got to take care of me. I don't really care about the rest of y'all. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just kill off an entire tribe that's the only one who knows how to fish over here?
Mm.
The only people that understand this land for real?
Mm.
Oh, that sucks. I'll just go to a different river. Like, there's just no... Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We're moving this river anyway.
Yeah, we're just going to pick the river up.
Yeah.
take it with us.
Mm. Booyah.
And this was News with My Fiance.
Yes. Thank you guys for joining us. News with My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our podcast editor, Kyle G.
Ba, 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 ba.
Thank you so, so much, everyone, for texting. We got some new texters today. What up, Sean? descriptions for the episode are being updated as we speak.
Listen, so you'll Kyle see text is in here. Kyle is right now.
Listen, man.
He's working hard like y'all. There's a lot of text messages, man.
Yeah. Playlist is updated. And
he didn't play my song.
It's true. But please make sure you check out our latest episode of Views of My Fiance. Link is in our bios. It's also, you can find it anywhere you listen to News of My Fiance, with the exception of Spotify. But you know how it goes. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits, power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.